I have to say that some of you are aware that I've had something for a couple of weeks now. This is the first time I've brought my voice outside of my house, and I hope you'll be able to hear me and understand me. Let's take a moment to pray together, please. Let's take three nice, relaxing breaths, and with an inhalation that we hold for a moment, and on the exhalation, we intentionally release any concerns or worries or judgments or fears or anything that would cloud our consciousness while we're here together tonight. Let's do that three times now, please. Letting all those issues just slide out the door, wait for us in the parking lot if they need to. We turn to you, divine oneness, everywhere present love, peace beyond anything our ego can conceptualize, our own true self. We turn to you, our own true self, willing to be renewed, willing to be taught again by you, willing to walk more fully in the consciousness of love, of peace, of divine wholeness. This is our prayer, and so it is. I love that great quote from A Course in Miracles that reminds us that the healing of God's child is what the world is for. What a great framework for what we're doing here. We're here to heal. So we're not here to be perfect. We're here to heal those issues that we see coming up for us. That's a great curriculum for us to be on. Now, because I've spent the last 10 days, for the most part, needing to heal, it's been a good reminder and given me a lot of food for thought, because I have enough Course in Miracles entwined with ideas of Christian Science that I feel very definitely that life always reflects consciousness. So I have been puzzled by or interested in, where has your consciousness been, Beth, that you have to spend these days feeling sick like this? But on the other hand, how wonderful to have 10 days to reflect, 10 days to stay quiet and to allow yourself to consider, to not be rushing to and fro, but to allow the voice for God, the awareness of wisdom beyond yourself, to kind of work with you. So tonight I'm reflecting on all of that, and hopefully I'll be offering you some thoughts that will be helpful. One of the things when we say that life is consciousness and is the basis, of course, for Unity's great teachings and the teachings that have most influenced me, which is the work of the Fillmores and of Emily Cady and our great Emmett Fox, who always continued to teach us that thoughts held in mind manifest. That so, you know, I'm like, wow, Beth, what thoughts have you been holding in mind that are manifesting? And of course, it's been really easy for me to figure that out because I've been in a fight for the last year with a lot of things, right? And a number of us have joined me in that. And I've kind of had some comeuppance in my spiritual work, recognizing the kind of thoughts I've been holding and how they are reflected in the fact that I became physically challenged, but also because I always call it good and because I always believe we're in the right place at the right time, having to stop like I had to and stay reflective for those 10 days was exactly what I needed. I mean, perfect. It's been perfect. So, that's cool. And then I had time to kind of go through files. And oh my goodness, I'm, if you ever need to have any history on anything I've been involved with practically, just give me a week and I can find it, I'm sure. Because I remember once complaining about this aspect of my personality to our dear Gene Townsend, and he said, Beth, you're an archivist. I'm an archivist of everything I've ever been involved in. LSEA, Lansing Teachers Union, I hold the archives. My family, I hold the archives. The fellowship, I hold the archive. I mean, I'm sure some other people have some, but none can compare to my archiving. But that's been kind of fun in my days of lying there, deciding that I'm always thinking I have to clean these things up, right? But I get nowhere, but I just read stuff. So here's... Anybody else have that problem, Nancy? Okay. But yesterday, I believe it was, I came across this that says, important facts to remember as you grow older. Oh, good. Okay, listen to this. Death is the number one killer in the world. life is sexually transmitted. Good health is merely the slowest possible rate at which one can die. Give a person a fish and you feed them for a day. Teach a person to use the internet and they won't bother you for weeks, months, or years. They're not going to bother us, right? All of us could take a lesson from the weather. It pays no attention to criticism. And the last one, don't worry about old age. It doesn't last that long. So aren't you glad I save all this stuff? Yeah. So we're going to take a look at this sheet that was passed out that some of you are sharing. Getting back to the Course in Miracles and the basic concept that our life reflects consciousness, our Course in Miracles reminds us to be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. That we have a chance of looking at a lot of different things, but we're to be vigilant only to the kingdom. Well, that certainly is helpful for me and my lack of vigilance in the last year, as I've spent a lot of time reading the New York Times and listening to CNN and writing notes about things. Okay, so we are going to do, a responsive reading, my favorite thing. Now, you know that when I was at the helm of the fellowship, we had a responsive reading every week. And I like to do like one side reads and the other, and I like the sense of giving and receiving that allows. So we're going to read number one over here, and then pause a minute, and then this group we'll read number two, and we'll be receiving and giving, okay? And so this side will read 1, 3, 5, and then we'll all read 7 together. And this side will read 2, 4, 6, and we'll all read 7 together. Okay, here we go. The Holy Spirit is unified with each of us, our ever-present teacher of truth. Have no doubt that you learn what you teach and that you want to learn peace, for peace is the condition of the kingdom. Oh, good. Now, let's just think these are two important ideas, that we've got this Holy Spirit with us all the time, right? Our teacher of truth, and that we want to learn peace, for peace is a condition of the kingdom. Beth, that is what, all of us can say that to ourselves. So, okay, number three over here. To have peace, teach peace to learn it. This work is an essential step in the direction out of conflict. Oh boy. Okay. Teach peace. Have peace. We can't teach peace unless we have it. And we have some wonderful examples of that. Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, other great teachers, I feel. Our wonderful Peter Doherty with the Peace Team is one of those where they walk in peace and they teach it. Mark has recently talked to me about doing a little talk for the peace team. But so I just want to mention this, that once I was on a peace team and we were at the Capitol and there were lots of angry people, and I happened to be close to Peter, Father Peter Doherty, and he was dealing with these people that were shouting in his face, and he stayed with them so peacefully and so lovingly and so insistent on holding peace, and yet not leaving his position, you know, of the fact that he wanted to hear what they had to say. And I just stood there in wonder that I could possibly witness that level of kind love in such a hostile space. So to have peace, teach peace to learn it. This work is an essential step in the direction out of conflict. I haven't been a really good example of that lately in my thinking. I mean, I haven't, you know, taken to the streets with my anger, but anyway. Okay, number four, right?
In the past, you have believed
that you are outside of the kingdom and have therefore excluded yourself in your belief. But you are within the kingdom. So, most of the time we feel we're not. And to take that reminder and that step in consciousness that says, I am in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of empowerment for all those things. And nothing can take me out of that if I hold that truth and stay there. Okay, number five. The Holy
Spirit, the voice for God,
will help you sort out your thoughts in light of what is truth. Remember the thoughts the Holy Spirit excludes, the ego accepts. This is because your ego and the Holy Spirit are in fundamental disagreement about everything. Oh, so our ego, of course, is the part of us, and one of the most important things about our ego is that it is fear. Our ego is in fear. We look at the TV, it's easy to get scared, right? If we believe that consciousness that we're trying to take in. So the work that we're up against right now is significant. And remember that the Holy Spirit, the voice for God, is going to help us sort out our thoughts in light of what is truth. And that's what we want to keep turning to, that I'm going to be vigilant only for God and that kingdom, that peaceful kingdom, that kingdom of light. Okay, number six over here.
Turn to the Holy Spirit within. Whatever is in accord with the truth,
the Holy Spirit will retain to strengthen the kingdom in you. What is part? So it isn't what is party now, it's a little typo. Partly, okay, what is partly in accord, the Holy Spirit will purify for us. And what is totally out of accord, the Holy Spirit, the voice for God in us, will just say, forget that, Beth. That's not true. Okay, together, all of us. This is how the kingdom is perfectly consistent and unified within each of us. Our salvation is critical to the whole. Resolve to learn peace, for peace is the condition of the kingdom. So, what a great assignment for us, isn't it, to learn peace, because peace is the condition of the kingdom. And if we would like to live in a space of happiness and divine affirmation and not get so discouraged or open to like a conflicted internal state, which I feel I was representing in the sickness that I manifest, then we need to keep turning back to this idea that we want to only be vigilant for God, for the peace and love and affirmation, and not for continuing to say no, and continuing to affirm the conflict. Okay, I'm just going to go over a couple more points that I have a note on here. Here's something from Emily Cady. If you keep your thoughts turned toward the external of yourself and others, you'll see only the things that are not real. All the faults, failures, etc., and people will seem very real to you, and you will be unhappy and sick. That's what she said. If you turn your if you turn your thoughts away from the external toward the spiritual and dwell on the good in yourself and others, all the apparent evil will first drop out of your thoughts and then out of your life. So, in conclusion, we have another Course in Miracles quote at our house, which says, "Heaven is here. There is no other place. Heaven is now. There's no other time." And that's the goal that we're working with in our spiritual work, to live in that place. If there's only one presence and one power, God the good, omnipotent, if every loving thought is true and everything else is simply an appeal for healing and help, if the healing of God's child is what the world is for, then our work is very clear, isn't it? To stay with that healing peace, to stay with that love peace. And I'm going to mention one last little aha I had in all of this, because I've been pretty committed to my political peace, and I am. There is a part of me that's, Beth Monteith is known for her political opinion, but and as I was doing this work and thinking, oh, so does staying with that adamant political opinion move me out of my spiritual truth? And I had to say yes, that if that's where I'm putting my emotion, my intellect, my energy, I'm over here like, just give me another picket sign and tell me where to be, and I can be there. Right? I mean, okay, so that's that piece. Now, of course, we can pick it with love, and we can say, this is what I think, but I'm holding no animosity. But I must admit that I've held animosity. Okay. So that piece, that conflicted piece, I was thinking about this because, oh, it's so great when you just have to stay home and you can't do anything because you think all the time. And I'm always interested in where we got the kind of connection or motivation to feel certain ways. And I realized this was an aha, that on the one hand, I have all this connection with God's love and staying, keeping my mind in the kingdom. On the other side, I have all this political peace, and obviously they don't always get along. And I realized that this political peace comes through my family, that it comes through my father, who was adamant politically. His dad was the mayor of their little town. You know, I was the president of the union. You know, I mean, we're political. And so I've been choosing, in a sense, that side of me, rather than my truth of not of activism, but as energy. You know what I mean? It's not like I can't vote for who I want or even write a letter, but it's more an investment in energy, and we can feel that, and we know that, and we experience it, because one is the space of the light of God surrounds me, the love of God enfolds me, the power of God is present in me wherever I am. That's one feeling. The other one is, if I don't get out there and tell them how to be out of that anger side, then, and that is not the place that's going to keep me in the kingdom. So that's where I've been lately. And I hope that this has given you some food for thought, and because I believe I'm talking to a group that really does want to stay in the kingdom, because truly that is where the power is. That is where the strength is. And when we think of any a quote-unquote political opponent, let's just send them love, you know. Let's just send them love and write him a love note. That's going to be my thing this week. I got all these postcards from the post office with the stamps already on them. I'm sending out love notes. I'll tell you how that goes. Okay. Thanks, you guys.